Hi, everybody. My name is Christine, and I am an alcoholic. And it is a pleasure and privilege to be here. And Lorraine, thank you so much for asking me. And I'm so proud of you. You know, I've walked with you from the day you walked in. And I'm so happy for your family, for Al and Sean and Carly and Angela and Darren and, you know, even your dog, Maggie. I mean, it's just, you know, it is truly a family disease, and I didn't know that until I came to these rooms. And, you know, I'm so thrilled to be here, and, you know, this is truly my home, and you are all my family now, and I'm just so comfortable being here, and I love you all. So I'm here to share with you my experience, strength, and hope. And, you know, basically, it's the steps in AA that saved my life. And I can tell you that 2 years ago, I can guarantee that I would not be here. And I can guarantee I would not be standing here in front of all of you speaking. So, you know, AA is a gift. And it just took me a little while to realize that. So I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself. You know, I was born in Montreal, December 1964, so I recently turned 50. And so I look at some of the young people in here, and I just say, you know, kudos to you guys for coming here and realizing you have a problem. You know, I wished I had come in earlier. And, you know, but I didn't know what the problem was. And for me growing up, you know, I always had that feeling of, you know, that you hear that I didn't fit in. I didn't fit in, you know, I always was on the outside looking in. And for me, that was all in my mind, though. It was all in my perception. And so that's, you know, what I felt mentally, but you know, physically, I also didn't fit in. I was also very tall, and, you know, so I thought, you know what, that's just how it is. And, you know, growing up for me was, you know, just a little bit of, you know, that's just, that's, you know, life. So, you know, when I was growing up, I kind of did my own thing. I had, you know, two parents that were not alcoholic. They were from Germany. They had, I would say, some isms and maybe some, you know, mental disorders of their own, but I don't want to get into that. But, you know, at one point I blamed my parents for a lot of things, and I don't blame them anymore, and that's what the steps have taught me as well. That, you know, they actually gave me some gifts, and they did the best that they could, you know, with what they had, and, you know, I'm thankful for that. I'm, you know, I can cook, and I'm a pretty good gardener, so, you know, I have to be thankful for some of the things they gave me as well. So, what happened for me growing up, though, is I was always on this perpetual quest, and I didn't know what it was, and there's one person in this room, Sasha, that you said it to me so perfectly at one meeting, is that emptiness inside, and, you know, he's Russian, and he drinks vodka, and he's talking about this hole in him. And, you know, I was trying to relate so much in the beginning, and he just nailed that for me, and that was that emptiness that I felt inside of me, that I was always looking for something and something to fill it. And, you know, alcohol did that for me. You know, when I was 12 years old, that's where I found my first drink. And it was about fitting in. It was that social stigma. It was, you know, hanging around with people that were like me. And, you know, I didn't realize that it was a problem. And I drank a lot from that age on. And, you know, it seemed to be the answer for everything. But little did I know back then it wasn't. So, you know, I made it through high school and you know, I wasn't a daily drinker, but man, I looked forward to Fridays and Saturdays, you know, and I couldn't wait to get out of the house and, you know, spend time with people that were like me. So, you know, made it, like I said, made it through high school and had an opportunity to do a couple of those geographical cures. And so I, you know, went to Los Angeles for a while. And, you know, I was drinking, you know, socially. It wasn't really a big deal. And, you know, never realizing that I had a problem. But I was always so unhappy. And I didn't know what was wrong with me. I had times where I thought I was crazy. And, you know, I was always on this perpetual quest. I don't know how else to describe it. But so while I was in Los Angeles, you know, I tried to do some things like modeling and some things. And, you know, I wasn't drinking a lot, but they told me something, you know, they said, Christine, you know, we like you to lose some weight and stuff. And so my addictions for me are like a shelf in front of me. And I didn't realize that, you know, I put the alcohol up and up came my eating disorder. And I didn't realize that I have, you know, multiple addictions. And if I don't deal with what's inside of me, I just keep switching. And, you know, I keep switching from shopping to not eating to smoking. And I didn't realize that there was a problem. So, you know, so I go through some time and I'm not drinking and, you know, another geographical cure back to Toronto and, you know, and the drinking comes back. And so, you know, the next best thing, though, is I'm thinking to meet somebody and get married, thinking that'll be the answer. And so I did. I met my husband in Toronto, and, you know, I was somewhat drinking. We had a good time, but I realized it was actually progressively getting worse. And it says that in the big book that, you know, it does that. It's a progressive disease, and I didn't realize that. You know, I went from a weekend drinker to almost every day, and it was becoming more and more of a problem. So, you know, years went by, and, you know, we had our children, and, you know, again, not realizing that there's a problem, and, you know, because I'm putting all my efforts into my kids. And I'm not drinking a lot, and then they, you know, started, they went back to school and I was lonely. And so I found the bottle again. And, you know, I don't know when I crossed that line from social drinker to alcoholic, but something happened because, you know, that drink every once in a while turned out to be a drink every day, and a drink every day turned out to be multiple drinks. And when I truly said to myself I wasn't going to drink that day, or, you know, trying to do some of that controlled drinking that it says in the big book. And, you know, I did try that. My husband and I would go out for dinner, and he'd say, okay, Christine, try to have just 2 glasses of wine. I'd be like, okay, yeah, I can do this. And, you know, the first one would go down, and then the second one would be, you know, I could feel that I was restless, irritable, and discontent. Like, I could feel it. And, you know, I was getting very anxious. And, you know, I may as well been drinking the rest of the night, because I bit my husband's head off, or, you know, I was so unhappy. I was so unhappy. And so, you know, again, I didn't realize that drinking was a problem. And it wasn't until, you know, what happened to me was drinking became first in my life. My addiction came before my husband, my children, my job, everything. And, you know, my world was crashing down around me, and I didn't realize it. So, you know, after 20 years being married, my husband sleeping in the other room, and my kids stopped talking to me, and, you know, they're all in their 20s, and basically I'm telling them to screw off because I'm not hurting anybody. And, you know, thinking that, you know, I'm hurting me and nobody else. So little did I know. But, you know, so they stopped talking to me, and they're like, well, why bother talking to you, Mom? You're not going to remember anything in the morning. So I was a blackout drinker, you know, and that morning, you know, I said, I'm not going to drink. And, you know, I don't know how it happens that, you know, when I take that first drink, you know, that I can't stop. And that's why when I came to these rooms, it was Big Book that taught me, you know, the doctor's opinion, that I have a problem with my mind and a problem with my body. And I had no idea. I had no idea that, you know, it wasn't the fourth drink. It was the first drink. And this guy, Carrie, shared this joke, and it was about, you know, going to a bar and ordering, you know, one shot of whiskey and putting it on this side of the bar and then ordering 9 more and putting it on this side. And so I drink the 9 on this side, and the bartender's like, well, why don't you drink the first one? And, well, in AA, they say the first one will kill you. You know? But I could manipulate it like that. I'd be like, okay, see? I knew it, you know? But that was my thinking. And that, again, was, you know, thank God for Dr. Silkworth saying that, you know, when I stop drinking and I don't have the allergy and I don't take alcohol into my body anymore, this is what's left. Is my thinking. And oh my God, that's not a good place to be. That's for sure. Because I can manipulate, I can, you know, lie, I can cheat, I can, you know, I can work my way through anything. And, you know, that mask goes on and I can be whoever, you know, I need to be. I can be that people pleaser. I can, you know, I can do anything. And so... You know, but I didn't realize that. It took me a long time. You know, I came in to AA May 2013. But, you know, I still had the cotton balls in my ears and the receivers were off. And I didn't do what was suggested. So I was just going to meetings. I didn't get a sponsor. I didn't do the steps. And, you know, the triangle, recovery, unity, and service, well... It's there for a reason in AA. Recovery is the steps, unity is the fellowship, and service is service, and that's what keeps us rolling, you know? And so I'm just doing fellowship, you know, and I'm hoping that somebody will just touch my shoulder and through, they say, osmosis, because it's sitting on a chair, that I'm gonna get better, you know? And it was like, please just make me better. But it doesn't work like that. And, but I, again, I didn't realize until... You know, I was here for almost 6 months, and then I had to go back out and try that, some more controlled drinking. And I can tell you for 2 months, you know, it was hell. And I don't think I know anybody that comes back after a relapse saying that was the best relapse ever. You know, it definitely was not it for me. So what happened was I came back December 19th, 2013. That's my sober date. And so who gets sober just before Christmas? I don't know. Pick a day. But, you know, the Alkathon kept me sober. And I thank all of you for that. Because, you know, Christmas and all kinds of triggers. And so just, Christine, keep coming to the Alkathon. You know, just we'll embrace you and you know, till you're on your way. And that's pretty much what I did, you know, because, again, I'm not really doing anything. And I'm just kind of just going to meetings. So... I finally did what was suggested. It's kind of like when you jump out of a parachute, out of a plane with a parachute, and it says pull the string, and it's a suggestion. You know, it's this program saved my life. And so, you know, but it's that willingness and open-mindedness. And, you know, once again, my back was up against the wall, and I'm willing to do anything, and I'm willing to go to any lengths. So I start to do the steps. And, you know... I'm doing them slowly, and I'm doing them the best that I can, but I'm still not really understanding them. And for whatever reason, I don't know. Maybe it's like when the student's ready, the teacher will come. I don't know. But I've learned that, you know, by my changing sponsors, and there's people in this room that know that I struggled, you know, it really had nothing to do with them. It had everything to do with me. And that's what the steps have taught me. So, you know, step one tells me what the problem is. And that I'm powerless over alcohol, and that my life is unmanageable. So I'm in that spiritual malady that everybody, you know, you hear at the Big Book on Friday. And so I don't have that power. I don't have the power to stop drinking. My husband doesn't, my kids, my dog, nobody has that power. And my life is so unmanageable, I can't pay bills. I'm not a mother, I'm not a sister, I'm not a friend. I never show up anywhere on time. and my life's just a mess. And so, you know, it's the problem, but there's always a solution. And that's what the steps are, 1 to 12, are, you know, a program of recovery and action. So, you know, I have step one, which is the problem, but I don't sit in step one because I always have a solution. And the power that I need is a power greater than me. And, you know, the big book tells us even where that power is. You know, I think it's page 25 in the big book, and it says, our creator has entered into our hearts. So it's like, I can't tell you who God is, but I can tell you where God is, or your higher power, because, you know, it wasn't God for me when I first came in either. And it was all of you. And it was just all of you loving me till I could love myself. And so, you know, I knew I had tried doing it my way, and it didn't work. So it's like, okay, let's try it another way. So at that point, you know, I'm willing to turn my will and my life over to the care of God, of my understanding, or not understanding. I didn't understand either, but I'm like, I'm ready. So, you know, that's the foundation. Step 1, 2, 3 for me is the foundation. You know, it's the problem and the solution, and now I'm into action. And, you know, life-changing for me was step 4 and step 5. And so, you know, step 4 for us, we're so blessed to have that, actually, because it's clarity. It was clarity for me. So, you know, I have my resentments, I have my fears, I have my sex conduct, and I have my harms to others. And, you know, I can have 1,000 resentments on my husband, and it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because, okay, he hurt me, and, you know, he hurt my pride and self, you know, it hit my, you know, self-esteem and everything, and I was frightened. But, you know, it was the last column that did it for me. It's because, you know, it's my patterns and behaviors, so it's, you know, I was angry, I was avoidant, I was non-communicating, you know, I was jealous, judgmental. And so, you know, I go through my resentments, and all these patterns keep popping up, and that's my inventory, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I had no idea. Because I blamed everybody in the world, everybody, for my problems. But when I'm pointing the finger, there's 3 pointing back at me. And so I need to look at what my part is. Because we resolutely look at what our mistakes were, and has nothing to do with them, nothing. And it's even today, it has absolutely nothing to do with anybody when I have a resentment. It's all about me and how I react to a situation. And I didn't realize that, you know, because I was too much in here. And, you know, again, that's not a good place to be, is in my head. So, you know, so step 4 is getting it on paper. Step 5 is sharing it. You know, God already knows. My God already knows. I already know. So it's something about verbalizing it and getting it out. And I don't know about you guys, but when I just sit there and even have a coffee with somebody and just talk, it just feels so good. But I didn't even have those skills. AA taught me those skills. I had no social skills. You know, I couldn't talk to anybody. I couldn't talk in front of a crowd. I was petrified. I was just paranoid. Like, I couldn't do it. And so, you know, I deal with my fears. And, you know, I was full of fear when I came in here. I was afraid of what you thought of me. I was afraid of failure, you know. I had fears of abandonment because my father left, you know. My parents were divorced at a young age, and I didn't know any of that. So I have my fears, but, you know, I can't just pray over that because, you know, it's as simple as saying, you know, what did I say today? Was like, I've always prayed to win $1 million. You know, always pray. It's like, well, how's that working out for you, Christine? It's like, well, I have to go buy a lottery ticket. Because it has to be followed with some kind of action. So, you know, I have all my fears, and so everything's just popping up, and it's not really, it's just clarity for me. It's just clarity, you know, and it's just like all my sex behaviors. It's like, well, why do I, you know, have such a hard time in relationships? It's because of my patterns. It's like, well, they get too close, and I push them away, you know, and or I'm jealous, or I'm angry, and, you know, so... and harms to others. A lot of my resentments come across into my harms. And I'm on that list for the harms. Because, you know, I hurt everybody, but I also hurt me. I hurt me with drinking. I hurt me with, you know, not eating. With, you know, I hurt me. And so 4, 5, 6, and 7 go together for me. And, you know, so 6 and 7 is when we ask, or when I ask, you know, God to help remove my character defects. So now I have in front of me that I'm dishonest, I'm avoidant, I don't communicate, and I'm just saying, could you please help me change? You know, I'm willing to change. And, you know, it's not easy. I mean, I love to control the world. You know, it's exhausting, but I love to do it. I love to control everybody. But, you know, I've had to let go of that, and life is so much better, you know. And I stopped fighting everything, too. So, you know, my husband and I are getting along so much better. And, you know, there's sometimes, I'll just share with you, there's one word that saves an argument, because I was always looking for a fight. So, you know, he has his stuff on his desk, and I move it, I dust it, and he's like, you know, you touched my shit today. And I would have been like, well, yeah, it's a mess, and, you know, you shouldn't do that. And now I just go, okay. There's no, nothing. Not, that doesn't mean I'm not going to do it again, but you know. But it's so true. I was always looking for a fight. I was always looking for a fight. And, you know, so and now I communicate. You know, we compromise. We, before it used to be, no, we're going to this restaurant, and that's it, because, you know, I want to drink there. Now it's not an option, but you know, sometimes like, okay, well, I don't really want to go to that restaurant, but we'll go there, and next time we'll go to this one, you know? Because, you know, we're doing better now, but, you know, I have to make time for my husband, too, because, you know, I jumped 2 feet into the deep end in AA, and, you know, I couldn't even swim, and so I'm doing service, and I'm doing all these meetings, and, you know, and I have to make time for family, too, you know? So I spoke a couple of weeks ago at Freedom Group, which is just behind the Royal, and there's a lot of people from treatment there. And they're actually given 10 things that they have to do. You know, it's eat right, sleep well, exercise, meditate, have fun, you know, work. Like, there's 10 things that they have to do, and it's all about balance that they try to teach you. And that's what the steps have taught me, is to live life. So, you know, I'm just going to keep going through the steps. So 8, 9, you know, is making the amends. And so step 9, though, was another big one for me, was because the first person on the top of the list that I had to make amends to was me. And I couldn't go any further. It's because I could love all of you, no problem, but I couldn't love me, you know. I could do anything for you, but I couldn't even look at myself in the mirror. So, you know, now, you know, I was looking in the mirror. I was the problem, but I'm also looking at the solution, you know. And my life's so much better, you know. And those amends, I mean, you hear about the different types of amends. There's the direct amends, the indirect amends, and change. And so the direct amends, of course, I make to my kids, and I change my behavior. But there's some amends that I don't make. And, you know, there were some guys that I woke up next to, and, you know, I don't go seeking them out. I'm not trying to rekindle anything, and it would hurt my husband. So, you know, if they happen to appear in the grocery store, oh, well, that's God's will for me to say I'm sorry, but I don't go seeking them out. So, you know, but I'm willing to make amends to them all. And that's that word that continues through all the steps. And so, you know, step 10 is that daily inventory now that, you know, I look at myself, and I read that page 86 every night. And, you know, so I look at how I did during the day. Was I, you know, was I self-seeking or selfish, or did I put as much into the stream of life that I could? And, you know, it's just that one good act isn't enough during the day. I have to do good acts all day long. And, oh my God, what a difference it makes when you open a door for somebody, or just smile at somebody, or, you know, when you're at the grocery store and you just ask the person, hey, how you doing today, you know? They're almost dumbfounded. And so I always react with love now. And it's funny, I had a sponsee say to me that, Christine, oh my God, she has drugs in her story. You know, I go to this corner store where they sell milk, and I'm so full of fear. They're trying to you know, push drugs on me. And I said, well, just tell them, you know what? I'm really good today. Thank you very much. I love you guys. And be on your way. And she said, oh my God, I never thought of that. So she did that. And their reaction was like, oh, you know, it was so different. And that, and it's just amazing that, you know, again, the steps have taught me love and respect. And that's love and respect for all of you, love and respect for me. And I can tell you, I didn't have any of that coming in here because I was the most selfish person in the world. It was all about me, all about me. So step 10, you know, doing the daily inventory. And, you know, somebody said to me doing the steps, it's like playing the guitar. You know, you're kind of clunky at first playing. And then you just kind of know, your fingers just kind of know where to go. So it's like I catch myself all, you know, during the day. It's like if I said something or I need to make, you know, make an apology or, you know, if I've done something wrong, I catch myself a lot quicker now. And, you know, then step 11 is prayer and meditation. And prayer to me is speaking to God, and meditating is listening to God. And I haven't really got that listening to God thing down yet. You know he's there. I know it's in my heart. You know, but it's something I need to work on. I try not to do God 911 all the time. But, you know, I do say thank you. During the day for different things. And I am truly grateful. I am grateful for the life that I have now. And, you know, step 12 for me is the greatest gift. And I can't explain it. And it's about giving back to others. And, you know, I can't tell you how much my life now is all about step 12. And I'm fortunate enough that, you know, I have some people that I'm helping through the steps. And, you know, some of them have sponsees. Some of them are looking to me just to do it a different way. And, you know, I just said to them, you know, there's no competition. If there's anything I can do to help, you know, it's kind of like if you have an English teacher who teaches the English and they'll teach it to you in one way. And you'll take the exact same course with another English teacher and you just learn something just a little different, you know. So it's okay. Like, I was full of fear changing sponsors and doing things differently. And you know, it was just me. It had to do with me. And I understand the steps now. But I live them. I live them every day. And I love them. And I love my life. And I didn't think I could ever wake up every day happy. I kid you not. I was, you know, it was just me in my closet drinking, you know, just me and my dog. And, you know, it brings me back to the 20 questions. It's like, you know, that they ask you in the pamphlet, did you ever drink alone? And it's like, no, I drank with my dog. You know? But what a difference. What a difference a year and a half can make. And, you know, I just, like I said, if there's anybody new or, you know, thinking, well, I'm not sure if I'm an alcoholic, and it's like, I honestly can't tell anybody. It's like, it's up to you to say, you know, do I have a problem and I can't stop entirely? And that's here. And, you know, when you take it into your body that, you know, you're just gone. And, you know, I'd end up in Montreal, Toronto, and, you know, saying when I would not drink that day. So, you know, it is a beautiful, beautiful program of recovery. But you have to keep doing it, and you have to keep moving forward, because I have seen people that have done the steps and don't live them and then stop going to meetings and then kind of start falling back. And that would be me too. I start, you know, I'm out of my heart and I'm back into my head, and I'm full of fear and worry, you know, I only have a daily reprieve as well. You know, that's all I have based on my spirituality. And my sponsor says to me, you know, Christine, are you going to drink today? And I'm like, nope. And he says, why not? And I said, well, because I'm spiritually okay. And when I'm okay, I want to go for a walk. You know, I want to go to a movie, spend time with my family. But when I'm not okay, I'm out of gratitude, and I'm in attitude, and I'm all in my head again. and I don't want to be there. So in the morning, when I wake up, I just say, God, direct my thinking. And I say a few prayers, and that gets Christine out of the way. Because Christine is Negatron, and I can see everything negative, everything at negative. So I'll just leave you with this analogy. And to me, doing the steps is like going to the gym. And this is the gym, and there's a lot of amazing people at the gym. Amazing people. But I just go there and I go, hey, how's it going? Hey, Larry. You know, hey, how's it going, Carly? You know, but I never pick up a weight and I don't get the results. And that's what doing the steps is. But, you know, I have to do 1 to 12. I don't just pick 1 and maybe 3 and skip over 4, 5 and do, you know, 9. I have to do 1 to 12. And, you know, it's not just me that made that up. It's in the big book. You know, there's millions of people that have done this program, and I'm so blessed. I'm going to Atlanta this coming Wednesday, and I'm there for the 80th birthday of AA, the conference there. And apparently, you can hear a pin drop when people say the Serenity Prayer, and there's like 60,000 people in an auditorium. So my world just keeps getting bigger. You know, from me in my closet with my dog, I have so many people in my life today. I have so much love, and I had somebody say to me once, what does love have to do with sobriety? Love has everything to do with sobriety, and that was my perpetual quest, and I found it here. Thank you. Thanks for